An Orange County dad, father to three Marines, is arrested by ICE as he's working a gardening job on the side of the road.
They didn't know his name. They didn't have no warrant for him, no nothing. They just racially profiled him.
And speaking of our masked immigration enforcers, who exactly are these guys?
I mean, there's Batman comics, there's Westerns, but in general, it's the bad guys who wear masks.
Welcome to the Here We Go Again edition of the LA Local for Monday, June 23rd, 2025. It's brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm your host, Jonathan Service. Thanks for kicking off your week with us. Coming up on today's local, a gardener is arrested by ICE agents, who then proceeded to repeatedly punch him in the face while he's down on the ground. We tried to determine the masked militia running around Southern California, seemingly attempting to arrest anyone with brown skin. The Trump administration gets a big, albeit temporary, win at the U.S. Supreme Court, and heartless monsters are shooting wild donkeys in Riverside County. Ugh. Let's start with the immigration arrest from over the weekend that's got a lot of people talking. Our Emily Valdez got in touch with one of the three sons of that detained gardener in Orange County. Two of the sons are active duty Marines, the other is a veteran. They tell the story of the arrest, ICE's claim of violent resistance by the man, and the uncertainty about what comes next.
48-year-old Narciso Barranco was gardening in front of a Santa Ana IHOP Saturday morning when it happened.
They didn't know his name. They didn't have no warrant for him, no nothing. They just racially profiled him.
His son, Alejandro, is a Marine veteran. His two other sons are active duty Marines.
And they just chased him. I know he was scared. He didn't know who they were. They had no identification, no nothing.
The Department of Homeland Security sent KNX News a statement which reads in part, Narciso ran, then turned and swung a weed whacker directly at an agent's face. He then fled through a busy intersection and raised the weed whacker again at the agent. They go on to say that Narciso refused to comply every step of the way, resisting commands, fighting, handcuffs, and refusing to identify himself. They say the agents took appropriate action and followed their training to use the minimum amount of force necessary to resolve a situation.
I don't know. I think it's funny just the way they try to defend themselves, because I know for a fact that the weed whacker wasn't on, and they pepper sprayed him right before the weed whacker went sideways in the video. It's just a natural human reaction, as well as the weight distribution on the weed whacker. It's hard to keep control of when you only have one hand on it, especially like running around with it. Like I could see how the weed whacker would go sideways, but I don't believe that he tried hitting them with it.
Alejandro says his dad never got his legal papers because he was too busy working 7 days a week. He has no criminal record, he says. Undocumented immigrant parents of military personnel can apply for temporary status to stay in the U.S.
The no uniform, no ID, masked up faces thing is becoming more than a little problematic. And one has to wonder when one of these incidents blows up to something incredibly dangerous for both the federal agent and bystanders alike. As the standoffs escalate between masked federal agents conducting these immigration enforcement raids and angry crowds showing up to voice their displeasure in those raids, the local is asking, who exactly are these guys? For some clarity on it, our Margaret Carrero called up Scott Schuchart. He formerly served as assistant director of policy for ICE in the Biden administration.
Federal forces involved in some of these immigration raids include, you know, ICE, HSI, also been drawing agents from like CBP, maybe some U.S. Marshals. Do you get a sense of like who these guys are?
Specifically in your area, I think it might well be all of those. Bear in mind that they have also given immigration enforcement authority to the DEA, the ATF, the FBI. HSI is actually part of ICE, but they are having HSI do more of the work that was formerly done by ERO, Enforcement Removal Operations, is the part of ICE that people think of when they think of ICE. So I don't have any specific information to differentiate, but I think it is all of the above. I think it's clear that Border Patrol is a part of it.
So when you have agents that are masked, out of uniform, and refusing to show IDs, how long before we have some kind of a mistaken identity incident that leads to either a federal agent, a bystander, or both being hurt?
I cannot believe it hasn't happened already. I think that is an extremely relevant concern. I understand why federal law enforcement have developed fears about doxing. I'm sure there is something to that, but I wish they were taking more into account the risk that comes, both just generally from the dissolution of trust and the perception of humanity between people, you know, who are just going around dressed like bandits, but also the specific thing that you raise. I mean, I was joking with somebody the other day. If I just walk around with arm tattoos and a t-shirt, am I impersonating a law enforcement officer now? Like, people need to know who is out in public exercising the monopoly on the legitimate use of force that is the purpose of having a government at all.
Should these agents, whether they be ICE or other federal agents, should they be identifying themselves to members of the public, to the people that they're looking to detain?
Well, there are a couple of laws about that. I will say in principle, yes. The rules are that once they have a subject under control, as soon as is practicable, they have to identify themselves and the nature of the arrest. But you're talking about interactions with crowds, not with the single person or the people that they are out there to arrest. There's also a law, a new law from 2021, that says that whether it's the National Guard or federal law enforcement, if they are responding to a civil disturbance, then any uniformed person needs to have a name tag or a badge number or some kind of individual identifier available. What we have here is sort of this black zone between those two categories, where we have ERO officers who don't wear regular uniforms and their other support law enforcement agencies, maybe also out of uniform, engaging in crowd control, arguably a civil disturbance, not wearing indicators. So it's as though they found a gap in the law, but that needs to be fixed. And they're definitely, unless there is a specific reason to think that officer anonymity is necessary to protect officers or the public, there needs to be a way for people to know who they're interacting with.
Is there any precedent to federal police agents hiding their faces like we're seeing in Southern California and refusing to show ID?
I mean, there's Batman comics, there's Westerns, but in general, it's the bad guys who wear masks. You know, people have worn masks in particular engagements, but in general, like this, it has been very rare until quite recently.
Shewhart did dismiss the uncorroborated reports that Homeland Security has been quickly and quietly hiring ex-military members and deputizing them for immigration enforcement. So that's at least a little bit of comfort. This takes us to a related decision handed down today that could open back up the spigots of mass deportations to third countries in particular. The Supreme Court, in a split ruling, is letting the Trump administration move forward in deporting migrants to countries other than where they're from for now. This case started with the administration sending Venezuelan immigrants to El Salvador, where they ended up being put in a prison camp. Justin Levitt served as Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Obama administration, also went back to serve in the DOJ under President Biden. He talked about the ruling with Brian Ping.
Today's decision is a big, 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 big deal. What the lower courts had done is essentially say you can't deport anybody to a country they didn't come from until you hold a hearing first. The government had twice actually ignored that order effectively. The first case arose in a situation about Guatemala, and then the government just sort of said, yeah, never mind, when it took people to South Sudan. It said, yeah, never mind, when it tried to take people to Libya. And the district court was getting quite concerned that this meant the government was just running around not only deporting people, but deporting people to third countries they had absolutely no relationships with, and even worse, and against international law, countries where they might face real serious harm. The trial courts have said, you don't get to do that at least until there's a hearing. And the Supreme Court said, we're just going to put that on pause for now. We're not going to tell the government what it has to do until we get all the way through the appeals process. So eventually, we could get a different answer from the courts after the whole thing is done. But that, in the meantime, is really meaningful for a lot of people trapped in ICE custody right now.
Justin, let's reset this. This is because, you know, certain countries say, you know, we don't want them back. We're not going to take these people back. And so they're looking for these third parties. It's been well publicized about El Salvador and their super prison there. But also even the places like South Sudan and Libya, this is because they have some kind of arrangements that they made with the U.S., correct?
Well, sometimes it's an arrangement of permissions. Sometimes the U.S. says, we'll pay you if we get to store people. Sometimes the countries are so war-torn that it's just the matter of effectively landing a plane, pushing people off the plane, and then taking off again. And I want to stress again, these countries have absolutely nothing to do with where the people who are being sent there. Deported is really the wrong term. They're being taken from the United States where they are and not sent back to home countries where they've been, but to third countries they have absolutely no connection to.
Does a lower federal district court judge have standing to, as the Trump administration puts it, interfere with foreign affairs? That was the administration's argument.
Absolutely. And the Supreme Court today gave no reasoning behind its opinion. It is technically, it's something on what's called the shadow docket. No briefing, no argument, just a petition for the Supreme Court to press pause. And all the Supreme Court did today was press pause. But the impact of that has profound consequences. The trial court isn't attempting to interfere with the conduct of foreign affairs. It's attempting to satisfy basic constitutional due process rights, including rights that we have under treaties that we, the U.S., have signed, saying that we won't send people to countries where they could be tortured. So this is American law that the trial courts are upholding when they say we got to have a hearing to figure out whether this particular person can be sent to that particular country. And that shouldn't, by the way, be controversial. The notion that the Supreme Court pressed pause on this without explanation is wildly out of line with what most people think the immigration system protects or allows. This essentially says that if the government has decided that you're subject to deportation, it can send you anywhere, including places you might be tortured, without giving you an opportunity to say, hey, wait, not there.
I really wish we were ending today with a feel-good story, but alas, that's not really our world at the moment. What kind of heartless jerk shoots arrows at a wild donkey? There is, of course, a lot of senseless violence in this world, but this kind of thing, seeking to hurt or kill a totally innocent, harmless animal, strikes me as especially cruel. But yet, at least two donkeys living in the wildlands of Riverside County were seen walking around with arrows shot into them. Our Karen Adams has the report.
Riverside Animal Services and Fish and Wildlife officials have been searching for the burros in the Ritchie Canyon area since last week. Animal Services Dr. Kimberly Youngberg reminds us that the wild donkeys are protected and harming them is a criminal offense.
The donkeys have protection under the Wild Horses and Burros Act of 1971, which says that they're essentially allowed to free roam and they're to be left alone. And then also California Senate Bill 371 offers them protections as well.
But she says this isn't the first time someone has harmed them.
There have been a couple of incidences in the past that are similar with donkeys that, you know, have been hit by arrows that we've found. Seems like every couple of years, something like this happens. And to date, nobody has been caught associated with any of these incidents.
In 2022, a donkey was shot and killed by an arrow.
We will definitely keep you updated on this case, on the condition of the shot donkeys, when and if they're found, and hopefully news of an arrest of whoever, whatever, is doing this. It's the type of thing that doesn't give me a ton of hope for our collective futures, but what choice do we have but to press on? This has been the LA Local for Monday. It's sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 12 dealerships at lacarguy.com. Be kind to each other out there, and the donkeys, for God's sakes. See you all tomorrow.